and that is I Know My Faith Is Founded. It's the hymn that I, Tom Baker, and Pastor Mark Smith are going to be taking a look at today on this Tuesday, September the 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. And with me is Pastor Mark Smith.
Tom, how you doing on this beautiful fall day? I'll tell you, the air is cool and crisp.
I thought you liked summers.
I do like summers, but I like the change of seasons, too.
Oh.
I hate to see summer go, but, you know, you've got to accept new season as it comes.
Too hot, isn't it, for summer?
This is nice.
No, yeah. I mean right now, but summer is going to get hot. Boy.
This is beautiful out here now.
Yes, good tennis weather. Yes, no wind, cloudy, sun doesn't get in your eyes. So we're taking a look today at I Know My Faith Is Founded. Was that written by Martin Luther?
No. No, it wasn't. Don't ask me who. No, I take that back. Text written by Erdmann Neumeister.
I never heard of him. Have you?
No, can't say I have. Sounds like a German.
When did he die?
Died in 1756.
Yes, these hymns are just really good sermons. And the reason I like this hymn right now, and we're going to be using it this Sunday at Trinity Orchard Farm, is because a theme I'm going on since I went to the seminary symposium is different worldviews. You should have come with me.
I know. I hated to miss that. I had another meeting I had to attend that day.
Oh.
I bet it was good.
Yes, it had some... part of the problem is there were like 18 speakers, but you could only go to hear about five of them you had to choose.
Right.
And so there were definitely ones I would have liked to have heard, but they were at the same time at the five. And I've already started implementing in youth confirmation some of what I learned. One of the big things they talk about is we need to get the students participating in the discussion. And the way that I'm doing this is I ask them a question. They take out a sheet of paper and I say, this was my first one. Somebody comes to you and says, I don't believe in God because I believe in evolution. How would you respond to that? I thought maybe 5, 6 minutes, 20 minutes, they were still writing.
No kidding.
Yes. I was really quite pleased. And obviously, it's a parochial school, so the teachers were doing a very good job in making distinctions of the kind of evolution we do believe in.
Macroevolution and micro.
We believe in
microevolution.
Right. And they knew those terms.
Mm-hmm. They knew about that. Good.
And the reason for that is because, as you well know, a lot of youth, once they leave confirmation, tend to leave the church.
Well, that's pretty sad.
The reason for that is because they are confronted with a worldview they haven't heard before in the public schools, particularly college, and therefore they don't know how to answer these questions. So what I'm doing two things. I'm not just teaching doctrine that they can memorize, like what are the two natures of Christ, human and divine. The first thing I'm doing is asking them a question when that is challenged, and therefore they have to think through, how do I defend that on the basis of the Bible? And the second thing I'm trying to do is to find a narrative for each of the doctrines. For example...
A narrative from the Bible?
Yes,
okay.
Hopefully.
Sure.
Because one of the speakers told about a worldview as being your world story. It's what you did or what you heard from your parents a lot of times. That becomes your story.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, did I talk to you about this? Why some marriages end up in divorce because of the way they put the toilet paper on the holder?
Oh, I've heard that before, yes.
Yeah, Ann Landers had... 3 months of that, talking about that, as to which way the toilet paper should go on the holder. And you see, there really isn't a proper way. It's just that this is the way my mom and dad did it.
Right.
And I'm not going to have you change it. There's all kinds of things like that that can lead to a separation.
Sure, little things.
And it's because the worldview of the couple are different. Yeah, they just have different worldviews. The most important worldview to have, though, should be religion. Do you advise your members always to marry from the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod?
Well, sure, that's the preference, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. For sure, because if they don't, there's going to be a time when there's going to be a division. Then which parent do you go with? This sort of thing.
Right. That's right.
Yes. So, speaking of worldviews, go ahead and read the first stanza, and we're going to see the two worldviews in that first stanza.
Okay. I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord. And this, my faith confessing, unmoved I stand on his sure word. Our reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trusts in human wisdom, relies on shifting ground. God's word is all sufficient. It makes divinely sure, and trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure.
So you have two kinds of wisdom talked about here. The one wisdom is that founded on Jesus Christ. What's the other wisdom?
Worldly wisdom.
And what's that founded on, according to the verse?
Shifting sand.
No, well, specifically.
Let's see. Who trusts in human wisdom relies on shifting ground.
Yes, and the line before it, our reason cannot fathom.
That's right.
I've said for a long time that Christianity doesn't make sense at all, because we believe what our faith believes. There's no evidence for that. For example, you can be in a congregation, and you know I always like starting sermons with questions. I said, put your hand up if you are totally sinless. And nobody puts their hand up. And then I say, oh, so you don't believe Jesus died on the cross for you. The point of view I'm trying to make here is, if you rely on your own wisdom, that's really the old Adam answering the questions. And we should rely instead on the new man who answers the questions. What's his source for wisdom?
God's word.
That's right. God's word. And in this day and age, when many scientists do not believe in the supernatural, it's really difficult for them to understand that this world came about in 6 24-hour days. Do you have public school students who are losing their grades because they don't believe in evolution?
We talk about that sort of thing. We do talk about what they're going to face when they get into public high school. And, I try to arm them with what Scripture says, particularly about evolution. And I say, hey, that's a theory. It's a theory, and I'm not opposed to you learning that theory. But you need to know that's not what we believe as Christians.
Yes, there's a distinction between a fact, a theory, and a hypothesis. I still don't think evolution has got out of the hypothesis stage, let alone the fact stage. I mean, that's ridiculous, because there's just no evidence. We still, even in a laboratory, cannot go between species.
That's right.
You can't get a chicken and then end up with a dog.
Each according to its kind, as the Scripture says.
That's right. And that's where Scripture, it seems to me, one of the students, when she was answering that question, she said, I believe it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Yes, because creation has got the science behind it and evolution doesn't. And a lot of people just don't realize that, that they think that because scientists are saying they must be correct. But there are doctors in this world that practice voodoo.
No kidding.
Well, maybe not in the United States, but in other countries, our missionaries run into that all the time. And that's really contrary to medicine. So I put scientists who believe in evolution in that same category. People who don't really understand the scientific method and are doing what we say, and explain this to the audience. What's the difference between eisegesis and exegesis?
Eisegesis, you read things into the Scripture. yes. from your own unregenerate reason.
Exactly.
You insert your own ideas.
So let's say you believe that the way that somebody is saved is they have to make the right choice. And so you go to the Sermon on the Mount, where after Jesus says, all these commandments, if you will obey them, then you will become perfect like my Father in heaven. They think that that's a guideline as to how to become perfect, rather than understanding that as an accusation that nobody can become perfect by obedience, because we all fall short of the glory of God. So worldviews make a huge,
huge difference. Yes.
You're a historian of sorts. People came over from the old country to the United States. Some people interpreted it as manifest destiny. Others interpreted it as, you know, you're taking our land away from us.
Right.
How do you define manifest destiny, by the way?
Well, the idea that the thinking early on in the development of our country that the United States should extend all the way to the other sea, to the Pacific Ocean.
Right. So that this is a blessing from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, these two worldviews look at the same data, but they end up with different interpretations. In other words, if you have a worldview where God is behind your defeat of the American Indian, then you'll have a much more positive view than if you're an American Indian. So worldviews interpret reality. A good example is how many Christians are still under the worldview when something bad happens to them, they think, oh, why is God doing this to me?
God's punishing me for something. Yes. Yes.
See, that's natural reason. Luther made a great distinction between the proper use of reason and the improper. Explain this distinction, therefore, between magisterial and ministerial.
Well, why don't you explain it?
Oh, okay. Ministerial means that you use reason as serving the Bible. Magisterial is you use your reason to overcome the Bible. So Luther brought up those terms. Of course, they're in German, not English. But the magisterial says this is how things are, and therefore you fit the Bible in that mold. Whereas the ministerial use, you let Scripture interpret Scripture.
Scripture interprets Scripture.
Yeah, that's really quite a difference. So the point I'm trying to make here is in the one worldview has Jesus Christ as God and Lord, and we confess that faith. The worldview uses reason, which this even says, cannot fathom the truth of God profound. Is there any Bible verse that backs that up where natural man can't understand?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
It's 1 Corinthians.
Yes. Yeah. The depth and the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God.
Yeah, to a natural man,
past our finding out.
Foolishness, you know. So that's why it's really quite ridiculous to try and argue someone into Christianity. Because apart from faith, they'll never get it. And what faith is, that is a new way of looking at things.
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
Now, that's the important part. It's not something we can decide. I don't see how many commercials I've seen on TV is how you become a Christian by inviting Christ into your heart and this sort of thing. Very simple. If you're an unbeliever, why would you want to invite someone you hate into your heart? Doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
No. Just like Saul. He certainly wasn't inviting Christ into his heart. So what happened? That the lost sheep took place. Paul was found. He was turned around. He was given faith. And then he became apostle to the Gentiles. And that was all the work of the...
of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Stanza 2.
Increase my faith, dear Savior, for Satan seeks by night and day to rob me of this treasure and take my hope of bliss away. But Lord, with you beside me, I shall be undismayed, and led by your good spirit, I shall be unafraid. Abide with me, O Savior, a firmer faith bestow, then I shall bid defiance to every evil foe.
Yes, I can get really practical. Remember last week, I think I told you about this, I had that blow-up tire on my car, my right front tire.
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, just blew
up. Just recently, huh?
Yeah, last week. And then I went to Trinity Orchard Farm, and the secretary there, Cindy, she said she was going home in her car, and her tire blew up. And she says, guess what? We're waiting for the third thing, because things always happen in thirds. Well, she
now
was
that's a worldview.
Well, she was wrong on that, because I came home last night, and another tire on my car was registering 17 pounds. So this morning, I had Louise go out and check it, because I had filled it up to 40. And it was back down to 14 pounds. And then she told me, oh, and by the way, one of the van tires is at 12 pounds. So
did you check for any nails?
Those were four things, not three. That happened. So before I came here, we dropped off the van. And hopefully it's just a puncture they can fix. And then we'll take the other car in. But, yeah, it's really important you have three cars, because when two of them go down,
you
don't have anything else. How many cars do you own?
Oh, that's a little complicated question. Two that run.
Two that run.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, well, that's the problem, is they keep stop from running. See, we live in the world, and everything's going downhill. And people just don't realize that. So when I saw that last night, after we put on a new one in another location, this was the way that Satan was seeking night and day to rob me of this treasure of faith in Jesus. But I was real close to a gas station, filled it up, got home fine, and then we had enough time this morning to take it over to, we go to Dobbs, they do our tires, and I'm sure by the time I get off the radio, they'll have the one fixed, ready for the other one. And it's all done. And all it does is cost money. Nobody gets hurt or anything like that. And that's because of a worldview we have. It says, I shall be undismayed, led by your good spirit. I shall be unafraid. I'm pretty good at that when it comes to church stuff. But when it comes to personal things, I'm not that good.
Is that right? Explain.
If I'm involved, like for example, when St. James put on an additional building,
yeah,
it seemed like we were going to be short by about $60,000 that year in paying for the construction of it, the electric, this sort of thing. I wasn't worried. I didn't know what was going to happen. But we had a very good friend. His name was Bob Brooks. He was a bus driver. And every time after he did his route, he would go over to St. James and check out the building. He found out that the electric had been put in error. And so it had to be redone. And guess what? It was a $60,000 bill we didn't have to pay for another 6 months.
So the Lord always takes care of it.
In the church, I got total confidence.
How about in the other realm where you don't have that confidence? Explain what you mean by that.
No, for example, there are times when something goes wrong and then I get all disturbed. And I say, oh, no, you know. And that, oh, no, is really a challenge to God without me knowing that.
Right.
And for
no
some
kidding.
Reason.
You get rattled a little bit, huh?
Right. Like, I just heard that you're not going to be here next week.
Yeah, but that's in the church realm, so you shouldn't worry about that. The Lord will provide.
Well, I was just giving that as an example why it doesn't bother me. You're not going to be here next week. But, you know, you've had children. You know, the first time they got sick or they had to have surgery or something, boy, sometimes you just get so worried about that.
Oh, I know. That's the truth.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. If it has to do with the church.
No problem. No worry.
Not really.
But you worry about kids. Well, you know, my father-in-law told me that never ceases. You're always concerned about them.
I know.
No matter how old they get.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Stanza three.
In faith, Lord, let me serve you. Though though persecution, grief, and pain should seek to overwhelm me, let me a steadfast trust retain. And then at my departure, Lord, take me home to you, your riches to inherit, as all you said holds true. In life and death, Lord, keep me until your heaven I gain, where I, by your great mercy, the end of faith attain.
Notice that verse is really a worldview that is based on Scripture. Because even if persecution, grief, and pain should seek to overwhelm me, then it is the Lord who will keep in me a steadfast trust.
That's right.
And for instance, I say a little different prayer than most people say. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Yeah, I don't like that prayer.
Yeah, you know, my parents taught me differently to pray that. They prayed instead of, let's see, how did it go? If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I think they inserted, guide me through the starry night and wake me when the sun shines bright.
Oh, interesting.
Now, how did you get taught that prayer?
Well, I was taught that way, but here's how I changed it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I know the Lord my soul will keep. Were I to die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. Uh-huh. It moves it from a hope and a prayer to a certainty.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Yeah. In fact,
and those little kids need that certainty, don't they?
That's how you give them a worldview.
Right.
The more they understand doctrine to be applicable to them in their life, the more they're going to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, the temptations of the devil, and all the secular nonsense that is occurring in the world today. So what do you like best about this third verse? Anything? Probably, in my departure, Lord, take me home to you?
No, I like the idea that though persecution, grief, and pain should seek to overwhelm me, let me a steadfast trust retain.
Yes.
I still cling to his promises, even in the midst of persecution and other things that the world and the devil throw up against us.
And people say there's not much persecution going on, but where I see it,
it's very subtle.
Well, no, it's not. Well, it depends what you mean by that. Where I see it is, if you want to know how Christians are being persecuted, ask a theological question and either look it up on Wikipedia or the Post-Dispatch. And you will find, the Post-Dispatch is our daily newspaper, and you'll find a very liberal, secular point of view in those areas. In a sense, they're just not persecuting me. They're really going against God himself. So, what are you preaching on this Sunday, or have you decided?
I'm going to have this Sunday off, in fact. Yes.
Oh. And you're having next Tuesday off.
Yes, right, yes.
Wow. So, can we say that you're off?
Yes, you can say that.
Yes. Well, you're also the one who really looks forward to the coming of Advent.
Oh, yes, I love Advent. I love Advent. I love Lent.
Yes.
I love the Advent and the Christmas season. I just love it.
And you have the Wednesday night services?
Right. Oh, yes.
Yeah. What time are they and where are they at?
Well, that's not till Advent.
I know, but that's just around the corner.
That's a while yet. We have them at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, of course. We have a Saturday night service at 5 p.m. and a Sunday morning service at 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class and Sunday school. We'd love to have you.
And I'll be at Trinity Orchard Farm. Tonight I have public school confirmation. Thursday night is a Bible study. Sunday our services are 8 and 10:30 with a 9:15 Bible study. So we've got a lot going on there, and we would love to have you. The way you get to us is get on 94 and go 5 miles away from 370. And how do they get to your church?
Oh, we're just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection out in Crestwood, right in the heart of Crestwood.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I guess we'll see you 2 weeks from now.
Right.
All right. That's Pastor Mark Smith, folks. And I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our distinctions between different worldviews on Insight Wednesday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.